I got a book that I loved already in 2020. I shared it with my audience without an affiliate link or anything. I recommended the book, why I liked it, how I'm using it. We even built a tool on how to use the formula mentioned in the book that my customers and the members of the public can type in and get a result straight away. Now, that sort of reverse value offering.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Guess who it is? Your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with another episode of The Fighting Entrepreneur. And today is a very special episode because I'm going to turn this into a consult episode. You're going to get a chance to look behind my business, and I have brought on one of the most brilliant people to consult me in this area. And so you get to be a fly on the wall, learn a ton, and I get a ton of value out of it. And I get to talk to someone who I've been wanting to talk to for a long time. Our guest today, his name is James Schramko. And you might know him because he is a major podcaster. His podcast name is Super Fast Business. He's written a bestseller called Work Less, Make More. We all love that, don't we? And one of his specialties is continuity revenue. So we're going to talk about, the title is How to Build a $100,000 a Month Recurring Income Online, but with a twist, selling high ticket continuity, not like 37, 47, 57, but like 197, 297, 397 a month. And so I have a lot of questions because I am in that business now. We are releasing some amazing academies at Learn. So before I bring him on real quick, I do have to ask you, are you a member of Learn Nation? It's free. LURN.com. Come on, you got to join. We have over 370,000 members now, and we're climbing our way up to 10 million. We are building an entrepreneurial community that works together, supports each other. We have so many amazing features coming out on Learn in the next months to come, all for free. Go to LURN.com, join the revolution. All right. So with that said, I want to bring on my good, you know, my now good friend and really just industry expert, James. Let me just tell you a little bit about James. I'm not going to go through his rap sheet because the guy has so much success, but here's how I learned of him. About a year ago, when I was getting into this podcasting game, I was out there looking for, you know, who the top podcasts are in our space. And I ran across this podcast called Super Fast Business. And it was on episode like a gajillion, right? So usually when that happens, you can pretty much imagine it's a good podcast. It's succeeding. Start looking into it. I look at his guests and he's got all the players, the who's who of our space. And I'm like, what is going on? How have I gone this long without meeting this person or knowing this person? Reason is because this person doesn't do the typical events and handshaking and doesn't do the typical Facebook ads and JV launches. But what he is he's mastered his trade and he sits in the corner. And I like to call him the guru of gurus because a lot of the people that we learn from today, he's actually the one who coached them and helped them set up their businesses. So I became a quick fan of his podcast, started listening, binge listening. And it's such an honor. Eventually, we got to connect on Facebook. And then I threw out the offer. I said, could you please come on The Fighting Entrepreneur? And he was kind enough to say yes. So James, my friend, thank you for being here. I'm excited today. I'm going to pick your brain like crazy.
I am very excited too. Hate the phrase pick your brain, but I understand what it means.
All right. No problem.
Though, I've known you for a long time, for probably a decade. You've been prolific. I love what you're doing with helping people out who are in a less fortunate situation than yourself. I think that's awesome. And it was a big reason for me wanting to come along and have a chat with you because I think you're doing good stuff.
Thank you very much. Yes, we actually, funny thing, for the Singhal Foundation, which is what you're talking about, where we build schools and adopt villages, we actually just got a charitable donation from someone in our industry who wants to be kept anonymous of $100,000. It was just confirmed today. So that's enough to, I got goosebumps talking about it. That's enough to build two schools or adopt four villages. I mean, so a lot of good work, and it's actually my true passion. So thank you very much for bringing that up. So James, I want to get into, I don't know a lot of your background story, and I had saved it to hopefully hear a little bit of it here. You definitely do things different. I know that. You're pretty open about it. You're pretty public about it. So tell me a little bit about your background, how you know, where you started and how you reached to where you are today. And then we'll have you take the oath, and then we'll go into our consult session. So But yeah, I want to hear a little bit about who James is.
So, Anik, when you started online, I think you were probably at university, right? You got into it pretty early.
Yes, I was.
And that's why what I'm doing is very different to what a lot of other marketers are doing. And I, you know, I see other marketers who started in their dorm room, you know, selling potato gun how-to manuals and all that sort of stuff. In my case, well, I'm a little bit older than some of the other online marketers, so I wouldn't consider myself old. I'm very young-minded, but I actually went through a traditional career, you know, in a job environment, working for lots of different types of employers. Everyone from my grandfather in his backyard as a timber broker on the telephone for a 3% brokerage fee, through to I was laboring, I was studying accounting, I did some Fridays in an accountant's office doing filing and answering the telephone. And then when I got a real job, there was a recession. This is 30 years ago in Australia, there was a recession, global recession actually, and I was in debt collection. My job was to be on the telephone, calling up people, asking them to make an agreement to make their payments. And I was good at it. Turned out having done the timber broking on the telephone set me up really well to understand how to help people over the phone. And I didn't realize that I was actually selling. I thought of it as debt collection. And I moved from that into a credit role, and I went out into the field with a big company now. I went from a smaller company in Sydney, sort of central business district, to a large company called GMAC, which is obviously owned by General Motors. And then I was encountering things like these templates and forms they had in the business. On the bottom of the form, some of them said, you know, copyright 1965. This is in the 90s. And I'm thinking, this is so outdated and bureaucratic and sluggish. It used to drive me crazy. Now, for 1 year, I was out in the field repossessing cars and auditing car dealership stock. So I'd have to go into a car dealership and meet the owner of the dealership and tell him that I'm there to check their cars, make sure their finance is matching up with how much stock they actually have. Because some of the naughty ones, they would sell the car and then not pay it out and use the finance company as a bit of a lender. And so I had to deal with these responsible people in a very responsible role. Like one tick of the box and you miss a car, that could be a $50,000 penalty. You know, that's a big error if you get it wrong. And then I went back into the office and I was doing credit, which I found a bit boring, and I moved into a more exciting industry, the technology industry. And at the time in the early 90s, Australia was starting to roll out digital telephony. Now, of course, everyone has it now, but back then it was brand new and it was very expensive, and it was hard to convert people across from analog because analog was working really well. And you know, a lot of the analog companies now don't even exist. Like, you know, Motorola was the king back then, and Nokia were the king, but you don't hear so much about them anymore. So what they did is they assembled the best of the best of the best salespeople they could from around the industry. Now, I was an administrator. I was pretty much a stock controller interfacing between the sales team and the administration team, like accounting and so forth, and the warehouse for the stock. And at this time, I was learning a lot about sales through the sales team, but I wasn't interested in it. And turns out that we were going to have a baby. And I really needed to increase my income a lot. And someone in that business had identified that I might be a good sales profile. And so I put my hand up and said, can I sell? But I had a problem. And that was the only other person doing my role was unfortunately involved in a motor vehicle accident and passed away. So I was now the only person in the whole business who could do that job, and they would not let me move into sales. But the baby wasn't going to just sort of wait. It was coming no matter what. So I had to look outside the business for a sales role. And the first place I applied was in a Toyota dealership, and they rejected me. So I learned from that, and I went down to the next place, which was BMW, and I convinced them to give me a job. And I was only 23 years old. Now, within 1 year, I had a baby, and I was also the number one BMW salesperson in the whole of Australia.
Wow!
Because that sales training I'd had, even though I didn't recognize it, all the way back from debt collection through to just sitting around the top performers, really gave me some insights into how to sell properly and not the way everyone thinks sales is. Most people don't really understand what selling even is, even if they're in sales, which is crazy. From that job, I traded it in on a job at Mercedes-Benz for better pay and conditions. And within a year, I was the number one Mercedes-Benz salesperson in Australia. And I kept doing that for a couple of years, and inevitably I got promoted to sales management, and I got myself a little team to the side of the mainstream team. And I built that little tiny team up. I had 2.5 people. I had 2 people and 1 cadet. And from that, I built sales training systems and I infused them with everything that I knew. And we started performing and we became the top team. Ended up having a little team of 5 or 6. We had the top 4 in the country. 1, 2, 3, 4. It was like unbelievable. And then they gave me a bigger job. They actually sent me off to a bigger dealership that was getting run down and they wanted me to fix it up. And I went out there and became a general sales manager. And I turned that place around. We had this scrappy little team of 7 or so people, ended up with 21 salespeople. We went from last to first. And over 4 years, I completely rebuilt that business. And then Mercedes-Benz suggested I go off and help another dealership because things became sour between the two partners who owned that place. It was a massive war of the roses, like unbelievable, acrimonious fight. Involving violence and legal scenarios and everything. And I thought it's time to move on. So I went to this last place. It was the last job I ever had. It was a general manager. And I spent 4 years rebuilding a dealership from scratch again. And so in the course of that, I got exposed to every aspect of business. I was dealing with a huge multinational, Mercedes-Benz. I had a local business market, you know, just so we had that small business aspect as well. We were doing wholesale and retail. I was selling stock, like cars, which is the obvious thing people think about with a motor dealership. But what they don't think about is we also sell time. When you service a car, you're actually buying time. And we sold parts. And we also sold money. We learned how to sell finance. So if you think about selling stock, time, and money, if you think about selling things now, tangible things, but also intangibles in the future, because we would sell forward order cars, like dream specified cars that aren't here yet. They don't exist. Money is intangible. And then I was dealing with every aspect of that dealership from service, parts, finance, accounting, sales. I took over the marketing and the website, obviously, as part of my duties was to run the marketing department. I started building the email list for that dealership. I did a product launch for the dealership. We sold millions of dollars worth of vehicles in just 3 days and shattered any record they ever had. And at the same time, I was starting to learn how to build my own website, which was a struggle. So this is at the end of 2005, beginning of 2006, I registered my first domain. And within 2.5 years, I'd been able to match my income, which was about $300,000 a year. And then I quit that last job, 2008, quit that job. And from then on, I've never had lower than 6 figures a month in my business, which is over a decade. And I don't know a single online marketer who would share that statistic. Not one.
That's amazing, man. Really powerful. And I just love how, you know, the story was a full rounder, just the experience you've had. For me, yeah, you're right. I had a couple of, you know, I had a couple of jobs. I was a waiter. I worked at a retail place and that was all it took in high school. And I realized I don't want a job. So in college, I went off and it was just, yeah, I graduated and I went straight to being an entrepreneur. James, I'm excited to dive in because I know that one of the areas you really are an expert in is building continuity, building membership sites. And I think that's probably a big reason why you've never had a month below 100,000 is because you've got reliable revenue that's coming in you can account for every month. And so if we can just take the oath, the tradition here, if you raise your right hand and repeat after me, I, James Schramko.
I, James Schramko.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
To tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
And help Onik build a 6-figure a month recurring income.
and help Arnik build enough income to buy two schools a month.
All right. I like that. That's even better. Thank you very much. All right. Perfect. You know, it's funny because why am I doing this now? So I used to do, just to give you a little background, I used to do a lot of recurring back in the day. So the whole, you know, DVD ship and then, you know, forced trials and all of that. I was a king of that. I mean, I was doing in 2007, 2006, I was doing almost a million plus a month in rebills. And it was great, except for we had a lot of issues with the banking world. We had a lot of issues with people that were doing it really bad. Like I was definitely not doing it bad, wasn't being tricky, but there were people. So we started having issues. I panicked. I didn't want to have any issues with the FTC or anything. So I remember just shutting it down. I was like, literally just stop it. I'm going to go off and do something different. And back then, the biggest issue was things like attrition. You know, I didn't really know what. So, okay, fine. We send out a DVD or we send out a newsletter every month. But every month you just lost members. And so you had to keep fueling new members in. And to me, it just felt like we're doing something wrong. And then I was walking away from continuity anyways. We've come back in. And the reason Learn is coming back into continuity, of course, always great to have sustainable revenue, always great to know you can start a month with X amount of revenue. That's one reason. But the other reason is because we're actually finding now that we're getting bigger at Learn that students, training is great. They want coaching training, that's fine. But they seem to be wanting a lot more. And that's actually becoming the mantra of Learn, is to connect people, to connect entrepreneurs. And so I'm finding that I feel like training will bring people in, but community will keep people in. You know, training gets them in the door, but community keeps them in the door. And so as we looked at all of that and we looked at the revenue advantage, I decided I really want to build, you know, a couple of academies where I can dive in deep, because that's the other thing. You know, things change. In our marketing world, we teach marketing. It's like every 2 months, it's like there's some changes. So here's what we're going to talk about. I'm building something called Conversion Academy. And at this point, when we're releasing this episode, it's already out, most likely. It's already been built. And I want this to be the place where, you know, marketers come, especially those who are starting. Because I love working with people that are just starting and new. But I want them to be able to learn the common, the things about copywriting, funnels, conversion. And I want them to have a community where they can come in and show things, get reviews, get feedback. And just to launch it, we are going to do a trial offer just to kind of get the things going. But ideally, I don't want that. I want people to be able to come in and pay the full $200-$300 a month to be a part of the community. And I just want to know what I can do and pick your brain on what I can do to obviously get the most members in there, but serve them the best. I really want to see, this is a big mission of mine. I want to see a big change in the conversion world and copywriting world. I want to see better training, more support. And so I'm just going to start with, you have a continuity program. So just talk to me openly about what do you think has made yours so successful? Because you're charging, I think it's like $300-$400, and then there's an upsell. There's two price points. Can you mind sharing those?
So the current iteration of it is it's $599 per month or $199 per month. They're the two options people could have. And that's what I call that would be my low ticket offer. My high ticket recurring offer is $5,000 per month. And I would say, you know, $299 is not high ticket. That's still very much low to mid. So that's something that's interesting to me. And you'll find there is a market there. If you said you had 300,000 people in Learn, of those, there's probably a cohort who have purchased something from you. And the important rule of thumb that I think is always blows my mind is that 10% of your audience will pay 10 times more. That's how you could predict what high-level program is sitting there waiting for you to create. Because if I didn't have the $5,000 per month program, I may not have thought it's possible that people would actually pay that much. But it certainly is. And the numbers work out about right. I mean, it is 10 times more, and I have one-tenth of the people. So it's almost exactly works out. Yeah. With the two programs I have, there's a delineation in that fee between $199 and $599 for that lower tier program. The only difference, there's no difference in the community. There's no difference in the content. So I'm going to split out what you call training into two areas. I'm going to split it out into coaching and content. So the content is the same. The coaching is different. with the $5.99 option, they get private personal coaching. That means everything they talk about with me is in a completely private environment that no one else can see. And that's where they get the most traction. Because what I have found is people will only share so much in a group where other people can see it. As soon as you put the blinkers on and shut down the outside, like the cone of silence comes into play, you will find out stuff you'd never hear publicly. A classic would be after we hang up from a podcast, then the person running it tells me the real story of what's going on that they wouldn't share to their audience. Because no matter what you see on social media or in any community, the business owners often having significant challenges behind the scenes because that's what business is like. It's extremely tough. Now, I think your first interaction with recurring income is very typical of how most recurring income businesses think it's supposed to run, which is big focus on filling the front end, like 90% focus on the front end, and then a small focus on the back end. And that's why you hear metrics quoted in the industry like 3 month retention. So if you want to know what's different about my program, it's people stick around almost 3 years, actually. So my average is strong. Can you imagine if you had a program running for 3 or 10 years and you still got a third of the people in there that you ever had signed up, rather than having to go find new people? So I flipped the switch. The first thing I focus on is don't even think about how many people I'm getting in. Like, getting a lot of people in was never been my metric, and I've had a very steady number of people in my membership for over a decade. I've just found the right number for me for both my programs, but I have been able to adjust things like how I deliver what I deliver. And I've found leverage in some areas that might be useful to you. And I've also, over time, had increases in price because I've a significant increase in knowledge and expertise, and the data that I've got access to is worth having for some of the people who are trying to set this up. So I focused instead on getting my customer result. That's the absolute single most important thing that I've focused on, is being a performance-based product where a customer can look at that invoice and be reminded of it every week because I send out weekly news for my main community. Rather than ding their credit card hoping they forget they ever purchased and then getting a charge back, I've said, right, I'm going to remind them they have this thing. I want them to use it, and I'm going to get them a result by hook or by crook. Like, I want a result more than my customer. I have a high level of empathy and my care factor is off the charts. And there's no need for us to take an oath, because I'd say integrity is the one draw card I've had in a market of sharks. It's like, I will side up with that customer. And when they take me on, I am on their team and we fight together. And it's a lonely sport, this entrepreneurial thing. And when I'm on their team, they win and they stay. And that's more important. Once you've got that, and only once you've got that, then by all means, get a couple of success stories published and start attracting more people just like them. But focus first on your capacity to deliver, and then go back to the marketing side, because the marketing side is actually the really easy part. It's delivering on your promises. It's getting the result for the customer that's harder. So I've split that into coaching, content, and community. And I do agree, no one's joining a membership because of all the other people. They could care less about the others. They don't know them yet. There's no relationship. What they do care about is, and they're probably interested in the content in the start, like some of your compelling content, your copy offer, your hooks, we'll focus on that. But really where they can get a massive result is how you coach them. It's what process you're going to go through to move them from where they're at. Because at the end of the day, they're only joining for reasonably selfish reasons, and I don't take that against them. They're joining to be better off. So if you can articulate how they will be better off in your offer, and if you can deliver better off in reality, they will stick around. And it works in pretty much any market. I've had people from worm farming through to copywriting. Now, I actually built a copywriting community from scratch with Kevin Rogers called Copy Chief. And it's now, I think, 7 years down the track. It's just very strong. And we were the first people to really bring that to the market beyond what used to be around. Like there was copywriting forums back in the day, but they sizzled out. And I think it's very important for you to make sure that your business gets a result for customers, but also that brings you enough reward that it's worth your while to be motivated to do it. So that's very important. And so one a huge mistake people make is they go out to the market with a low ticket offer trying to get a mass audience. And it's really hard. It's so much easier to have a small membership or subscription with a higher ticket price and to really serve those people.
Got it. So walk me through a little bit of what you provide at $199, or, you know, you basically said they're the exact same at $599. The biggest difference is they get more time with you. What is it, a weekly video? Is it, what is it? What do they get every month? Just to get an idea of the, how you're delivering.
There's such delicate questions there. When you indicate things like how much time they get with me, we really need to reframe that. And we need to change the way that you're thinking about it as the business owner. And we definitely need to change the way the customer's thinking about it. I'll give you an example. If I could ship you a bottle of water once a month and you drink it and you'd make $100,000, would you rather that, or would you rather go through 16 courses for 48 hours each month?
Of course, the simpler one.
Right. So huge paradigm shift for marketers is your customer wants less stuff to do. They're busy. They've got a lot on their plate. What is the absolute minimum possible delivery you could have to get the result? That's what I'd be focused on. So an interesting experiment. At one point, I was doing a weekly training, and then we shifted it to monthly. And then this huge sigh of relief came from members, and it slowed down our churn because people could now consume once a month of training. It's much easier to get to that. And it's good to have a one-month, you know, monthly topic that gives them something useful, that practical, they can implement into their business, like an installation module. So imagine if the membership is like your laptop, and once a month you send a software update that makes it run better and more effectively. That's what I like to think of with the training. I'm installing new ideas and knowledge that they can now incorporate and keep building up momentum. So think about the minimum stuff you could deliver to get a result. And on a related note is time. Time with me is not what people want. They want a result. So I found real leverage in being able to reduce the amount of time I need to put into the membership, but also the customer doesn't have to put in as much time. So you can do little things. For example, every piece of training we do is supported with a fully illustrated PDF with images and words, because I've noticed a lot of my audience like to skim read. They could catch a 1 hour training. So instead of coming to a live webinar and dredging through 2 hours of rubbish, they can now come to a tight 1 hour training that's just fully concentrated on quality information. If they want to have that interaction, they can. Now, if they don't, then what they're going to do more likely is go through a PDF document that takes them about 10 minutes to read. I also extract out the audio so they can listen to it, because a huge proportion of people want to listen to that when they're at the gym, walking the dog, when they're doing some work, but they want to play something in the background. So providing people information in multiple formats, multiple modality is good. That's good practice. Finding the right cadence for your delivery of the content is good. For me, it's once a month training on a topic that's going to give my audience the best possible result. I'm in a perfect position to know, because we do two things. One is I'm coaching hundreds of members through private forum discussions, so I know exactly what their problems are. Like, I know my audience back to front, inside out. Secondly, we have a tool in our community that automatically scores the most commented and the most viewed content within our membership community. So my team can come along and collate that. And once a week, we do a weekly roundup. And the most popular and the most commented topics get floated to the top. And we send that out to our audience and re-engage them. And then they come in and you know, they add fuel to the fire. And so I know exactly what the pulse of my audience is. So it's easy for me to create a training that meets their challenge on a monthly basis. And that speaks to what you were saying. Your market is in a constant state of change. And I would say the default setting for people who are in online business is overload, overwhelm, loneliness, and confusion. If I can make that better by giving them less to do, but getting them a result with that less, then I'm on track. So I really adhere to the 64-4 idea. And that is that there's an 80-20 of the 80-20. Of all the things they could do or should be doing or they're reading or consuming, very little of it actually matters. And I just want to go straight for the jugular. I had some lady post me the other day, somewhat of a novel. I think it was 10,000 words was one of her question/outpourings. And I gave her a one-line response that completely solved her problem that resulted in her posting lovely messages about me on Facebook and LinkedIn because I finally was able to be that pin to pop that balloon and let all the air out that was bothering her. So yeah, it's about what's the least you can deliver. So to sort of in a roundabout way to answer your question, when someone's in my community, if they're on that intensive program, they get me and I will then work with them to find out what their situation is, what assets they have, where are the hidden opportunities, what have they been doing, what's worked, what hasn't worked, what do they want? And then I will as quickly and as effectively as possible get them to be better off through back and forth discussions. But most often I'll link to a specific resource they need. For example, if you were in my community and you said, my big problem is people come, but they don't stick around, then I'd send you to a specific training on retention that I've already done. And I think I've made now about 80 trainings in a row. So the last 80 months, I've done 80 specific topic-based trainings. So this is where I do things differently to other marketers. Instead of doing a big razzle-dazzle $2,000 product launch with hypey emails and affiliate stuff, I will just make a training. I'll put it into my paid members. And I'm effectively selling a new training every month on a subscription plan. And they get to ask me questions about it and they get to share best practice with each other in that community setting. And if they've got specific things just for their own scenario, they might ask me in the private coaching thing. I recently added, since I increased my rates, I recently added an Ask Me Anything training, which is also once a month. So that means you get two trainings a month where you can actually log on and ask me questions during the training and participate. And then you get two recordings each month. So they're recorded, transcribed, PDF'd and MP3'd. And those Ask Me Anythings is a great way for my audience to tell me, you know, what's their constraint? What is holding them back? What is overloading them or overwhelming? And I'll just slice through it. And now when you look at my higher level program, I'm doing that type of call once a week. And I'm doing more private consultation and I'll do a Skype call or a phone call with those people on a more recurring frequent basis. And as you said earlier, a lot of those people you would recognize, they're already famous online, they're doing multiple millions of dollars a year. And they need very customized private help. And they will pay thousands per month and they'll be absolutely ecstatic about it because I can add £900,000 a year to their income profit. I can add millions of dollars for those people because they have bigger problems to solve. And when they're solved, they get bigger outcomes. And no matter how difficult or complex their problem is, there's usually a simple solution that they're not seeing because they're in it and they don't have access to all the other data points that I see from solving so many problems for 10 years.
Got it. Awesome. No, that's very helpful. So, I mean, definitely got some of the elements. I really enjoyed the part where you take your webinar trainings and turn them into PDF cheat sheets and love the knowledge base idea. That's something actually we're already working on so that our team can also help answer questions quicker too, because we get the same questions all the time. There's a lot of repetition and so a lot of easy ways to leverage, as you said. So speaking about, we talked about, you know, keeping members and putting members first and retaining members and, you know, making sure you figure out what works for the community. I think that one of the things I've heard about you and listened to you speak about is you also do traffic acquisition very differently. So for a minute, let's switch gears and talk about acquiring members in through and getting them to your site. What have you found has worked well for you? Obviously, I know the podcast will be one thing, but that's not something that anyone listening right now could just replicate quickly. It's taken you years. I don't know how long you've been doing the podcast, but it's got to be 6-7 years at least. 10 years. So what else? I mean, is that it now, though? Like, maybe that's what you do because it's...
No, it's like it's not about me, right? So for my brand new students, I'm not going to recommend them to do a podcast. I'd say, listen, there's over 700,000 podcasts. If you think the podcast is going to solve all your problems, you're wrong. It's great, and I'm glad I got in early, and I've got a lot of momentum. I probably recorded over 1,000 episodes combined between my own podcasts, and not including guest sessions. That's a great traffic medium for me. I've never done big product launches. I did have an affiliate program, but I scrapped that about 5 or 6 years ago. I don't really run a lot of paid traffic. I think I probably spent $8,000 last year on paid traffic. Haven't really needed it. I'm starting to turn that up a bit now because I've found capacity to deliver with my new lower level that doesn't involve the private coaching. I would recommend someone make short micro content in the video format and publish every day. That's what I've been doing since April 2018. Did daily short video, a very simple format. Just I call it TEA. It's TEA. I introduce the topic. So it's a single topic video, then explain it. That's what the E stands for. Explain what the topic means and some of the scenarios around it, and then answer it. Like, give value, massive value. I saw some guy the other day, some seasoned old dinosaur online marketer, and his whole post was about a tease to join his $1 subscription, $1 trial, and he's going to tell you this amazing sales writing book that he recently read. But he won't tell you in the post, you have to join his membership. That is old school. And, you know, that is going to attract you very bad customers. How about you share, like, what I did in that scenario? I got a book that I loved already in 2020. I shared it with my audience without an affiliate link or anything. I recommended the book, why I liked it, how I'm using it. We even built a tool on how to use the formula mentioned in the book that my customers and the members of the public can type in and get a result straight away. Now, that sort of reverse value offering, I create so much goodwill. Guys like Gary Vee were the pioneers of that, and I'd say he was my first inspiration when I went to my very first event in America in 2009. I became aware of him with his Wine Library TV, and I started down that video content thing 7 or 8 years ago. I paused for a little while, and then I started again April 2018. I can tell you I'm now attributing around $40,000 per month from those social media videos. The best thing about it is if you possess an iPhone, then you're good to go. If you have any kind of knowledge or expertise and you have an iPhone, you're ready to roll. It's super, super easy and quick, and you will get results within weeks, definitely months. I think it took about 3 months for my snowball to really get traction, and it's now probably the easiest way to access the market because the average American is consuming 6 hours of video a day. Wow. And they're on Facebook and they're on Instagram and they're on LinkedIn, depending who your audience is. They're going to be somewhere in those platforms and you can access them easily. And so the production values don't have to be too high. People actually like the story-based stuff. If you can infuse story with copy, with video, you've got a recipe. You don't need to plan a huge launch. You don't need a massive amount of content. You can start building up your audience before you want to make an offer. In fact, I would suggest a waiting list before opening a membership so that you have enough members that it's fun for you and it's fun for them.
Got it. So I want to backtrack on that. It was basically you're saying double down on the video, make more content. Any particular platform that you recommend at the current age? Because there's new platforms being added every day. But as of today, anything that you feel like you're recommending your members to start with?
Well, it depends how, if it's B2C or B2B. you know, if you're dealing with the end user or you're dealing with a business audience, that might determine whether you're more Facebook or more LinkedIn. Okay. I can tell you, I had massive traction with videos on LinkedIn, and I pretty much ignored LinkedIn because it was kind of spammy and I didn't enjoy the experience. We tried different platforms too, like Pinterest, et cetera. But I think if you're selling handbags on e-commerce store or anything visual or anything female audience, Pinterest might be okay. But I would say any businessy audience, LinkedIn is a bit of a hidden gem because it's such a boring place. It's people with jobs doing worky stuff, trying to find jobs or they're trying to sell VA services or whatever. But there are a lot of people are on LinkedIn, and we've gone from like 1,500 connections to about 7,000 connections. And we have put videos every day. We get lots of shares and lots of views of our videos, and I'm making sales from that platform because I have a business audience. Even though I'm business to consumer, people in my audience are on LinkedIn. And the other thing that I found is I'm really convinced it's time to build your personal brand. And guys like you and many others were onto that way before me. I'm late to that party. I used to build my business brand, and I have sold two of my businesses already. I sold my SEO business and I sold my website development business. So I love building an asset that you can sell, but I also feel having a strong personal brand, and that's why I have been behind the scenes and relatively unknown, because I never pushed my brand. But now since I've started opening up Instagram, I'm starting to build my audience there. And I opened up a personal page on Facebook, and I am getting good traction on that, really good engagement. So I would say Facebook is a core. That's a staple. The huge opportunity I'm seeing with my clients, I'm talking about Pat Flynn, Tom Breeze, Tim Bacholka, Scott Devine. I coach all of these people, and I've coached others like Sorrell Amor, who has like hundreds of thousands of followers, is YouTube. YouTube is the thing I'm hearing about a lot, even Dan Wartrop. Two things there. One is a lot of my clients are actually making good money from allowing advertising on their channels. So from that organic perspective, YouTube is tipping a lot of viewers into the right content. And then from a paid perspective, I mean, Tom Breeze would be the best in the world at paid YouTube. And he works with clients where he only gets paid for leads. So he buys his own traffic and drives it. It is the new frontier for people who have maxed out Facebook, but it's also cheaper and it's hot. So YouTube right now is the place to be putting some effort. And they like long-form video content, documentary style, behind-the-scenes stuff, storytelling. Good, proper YouTube videos can make really good money. And also, anyone can make a short 30 or 60-second type video that gives away something for free and target their correct audience. So that's what I've been doing lately with my book. And I'm doing also with some membership offers is short videos that give away a fantastic tip and lead people to something for free. And you can buy ads on YouTube and get up and running really quickly. So I think I would focus on those four: YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. They're the big ones. I don't understand why people are interested in Snapchat or TikTok or whatever. Doesn't make sense to me just now for most of our audience.
I just did a podcast episode. I filmed it with Rachel Peterson. She gets 2 million views a week on her TikTok, and she's using it to drive her social media management company, cut her ad spend completely. I was mystified. It was like, wow.
That's amazing. Her videos. I've seen her repurpose those TikTok videos on the Facebook stories.
On Facebook, yeah.
On TikTok. And I think she's doing brilliant marketing for her audience, which I'm going to guess are predominantly female. And I think a lot of people who've got kids and are at home and struggling with challenges in life are going to be inspired and motivated and encouraged by her content. So I think she really understands her audience. But I am not dealing with that exact audience. And I am not...
Yeah, that wasn't me. that wasn't me convincing you to do TikTok. I was just saying it was interesting.
This is really
to
important
see.
Because what happens is an audience member listens to that and they think, oh, I'm going to do TikTok. But I like one of my mantras is question everything. And I filter that. Is that information relevant for me? Is it relevant for my audience? And I am telling you now, I'm not going to be doing those. I'm not going to become an actor to entertain my audience. I'm not going to be TikTok's bitch. And I am going to live my life the way I want. I'm going to surf every day. I'm going to do the things I want to do, but I will not compromise on becoming an entertainer or a paid performer. But a lot of people are very happy to do that and play that role, and it works well for them. But it's definitely like for the greater majority of my audience, they're not going to be able to do what Rachel Peterson does on her TikTok. It's not practical and it's not within their wheelhouse. So they have to do other things.
And you know, it's personality driven. Like, so for her, I mean, she's brilliant at it, and she says, yeah, she's a natural at it. We talk about it in the episode where she says, you know, she's goofy and she's fun by nature. So,
I'm not goofy. I'm not fun.
Exactly.
I was probably more of a robot, like a machine. And that's what I brought to the table. But as I've loosened up and been, you know, I share lots of stories and on my podcast. And I'm definitely more opening up behind the scenes on my short videos and sharing. And my audience love when I share with them personal stuff. They love it. And
Where are these videos of yours, by the way? It's on Facebook? Like, you have a public page on Facebook or your personal profile?
It'll be everywhere. There'll be probably 7 or 8 places my videos will go. So I have a pretty simple process. Once I record the video, my new standard operating procedure is I'll load it to my personal Instagram as an IGTV if it's longer than a minute. I will load it to my personal Facebook. One of my team members will log into that Facebook page and they will put the captions, and then I'll load the video to my Drive folder. And once it's in Drive, the team get a hold of it. They'll edit it. They'll do the title and the captions and an intro or whatever, a little splash screen. And then they'll distribute it to our business Facebook page. They'll put it on our Twitter, our Instagram, our YouTube, our LinkedIn, and they'll put it into my forum as well. So it'll automatically get picked up in all of those places. And combined, the views actually all add up. Each individual video on its own little platform might not get a lot of views, and that's what I really want to state here. Don't be discouraged if you don't get 1 million views on your video. You could get 25 views, but if one of those 25 people is having the exact problem you're talking about and they start to resonate with you, they will become a buyer. I want to give you some numbers that might stagger you, Anik. I have only got 7,000 email subscribers, but that's enough to make a couple of million bucks a year with an 85% higher profit margin. And I don't get many views. I don't have a big social footprint. But it's getting the right people with the right message at the right time is more important.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question. How many downloads a month do you get for your podcast? I've always wanted to ask you because you've been around so long.
It used to be 65,000 a month before the before guys like JLD come along and start making podcasts a big thing for everyone. I don't know if he was single-handedly the guy responsible, but, you know, and Tim Ferriss and those sort of guys came into the market and started to get big. So now it's more like 35,000 that I'm tracking through the Apple platform. However, and this is important, I think we get around 35,000 views elsewhere now because we also syndicate to SoundCloud, Spotify. I can't track my Spotify downloads yet for some reason. And with the what we also do is we now fully natively put our podcast on Facebook and on YouTube. So I suspect some of my audience are watching or listening to my podcast in platforms outside of Apple. So that's one big change we've had, especially in the last year and a half. One of my students, who's a specialist in podcasts, Charlie Vailher, he suggested I put the native podcast fully on Facebook, and people do consume it there, we've noticed. and it's just popping up in their feed because that's where they're at. So I'm not so fussy about it having to be drawn from Apple. So I would suspect it's probably a couple of thousand listens a day across the places that we distribute it to. And that means, and if we publish enough content of the right type, that continually fuels my membership. I'm still increasing. I think we had a 50% increase in our revenue over the last 12 months. And what I did do last year was get a 2 podcast a week cadence. So we ended up with about 76 podcasts in 2019, and that lifted our actual downloads, even in the Apple platform, by at least 16%. But I think it lifted the downloads off the platform even more so.
Oh, that's amazing. We're wrapping up here. This is a question, not more for me, but more for our audience. I think the biggest battle some students deal with, they want to set up a subscription or a membership website. What tools, what software do they use? Like, how will they run this thing? And this question comes up a lot. You've addressed it. I've heard you address it before. You have some tools to recommend. For me, I don't, because we have our own platform. We developed it
and
ourselves.
And, guys like you with bigger budgets and a team can have your own platform. I've got my stuff on 2 different types of setups. Like, it was very hard. That question was hard to answer. Over the last 11 years, I think I've had 4 different versions of my membership backend. And what I have set up now is not what someone's going to start with, because, I'd spend over $1,000 a month on Amazon S3 just for hosting of my memberships. But for me, it's a multi-million dollar income and it's totally worth it. And I want to be on the same platform as Amazon. And I've had to glue together bits and pieces. We use about 5 or 6 different things in our stack. So some people see what I've got and then copy it. And I've successfully rolled out a dozen or so installations of what I have. But up until now, it wasn't easy. But I did start sitting down with a friend of mine who became a client and really got to share how I'm using my membership and what I wanted. And he replicated the functionality and features of it into his tool, which is called 10xpro.io. And it now is the one tool that can do the things you need. The only thing you need to add to that is some kind of CRM system. So a lot of people use ActiveCampaign. Some people already have an Infusionsoft or Entreport or a MailChimp or an AWeber account. They will all just plug straight in a deep integration. And there's a big difference between shallow and deep integration. That means you can add tags and things when people buy stuff. Very important. And you can also do things like follow people up who don't consume, which is one thing that I really wanted to stress. When you have members, make sure you have a slipping away sequence. You have to follow up people who aren't using your product, because it's only a matter of time until they unsubscribe. So 10X Pro has taken that challenge away from my audience. And I've seen member after member after member of mine just get the program, put in their the title of their topic, create the sales page using a template, add in, select an automatically created funnel. So it does all the page building. It's fully hosted, fully secure. So now you don't need a developer. You don't need a designer. It's all drag and drop. They put in their PayPal or Stripe details. They load up their content modules in the membership area, and then they start selling it. And I've had people, the fastest I've had was Caleb O'Dowd. He's a student of mine. He set up a membership called ROI Tips. He got 10X Pro on a Thursday in the afternoon, my time. The next day, he'd already built it and had 300 members. This guy's a machine.
Wow.
So it's pretty quick. And it's the tool that I wish I had. So I've started 2 memberships in January, and I've used 10X Pro for my new memberships. So moving anything I create from now on, I'm putting on that platform. It's powerful, but also simple.
The URL is 10xpro.io. Yeah, .io. Man, awesome. James, it's been so awesome. Thank you for having given us time. I know that you and I had to go back and forth a little bit to get a session worked out, but we're at the end, so we did make it happen. I wanted to make sure that everybody knows how they can engage more with you. So I know for a fact, work less, make more. Go to Amazon, grab that book.
So that's a terrific starting point, because it's I do talk about subscription memberships. I do talk about why I'm not a fan of the Ascension model. Talk about how I didn't have to do product launches and how they can wear you out. I think at one point you were a product launch manager type, weren't you, Onik?
Yeah, we still, so I used to do a lot of launches and we still do launches. Let me put it this way. So I definitely feel you have your opinions on the matters and I have my own on it. I think it depends on how you manage it. So I wouldn't make an over-encompassing statement of like launches don't work at all. But I think if you're the only person, yeah, if you're your own person.
But it's, I think it's best as a promotion or a Kickstarter. It's probably not... It's not a core business model as the only thing. That's a slippery slope to be on that one.
Absolutely, because it's not stabilized revenue, and so you'll come into a big high and then
peak energy burn. It's like
And I think for me,
spin cycle class. You can only do it every so often.
Yeah. So for me, it's been about building the right infrastructure around it. So we still do launches, but we've changed how we do them. And big time from 6, 7, 8 years ago. And I make sure that the launches happen and are done around me, around my schedule, around my health, and in a way that is balanced. But yeah, so I wanted to make sure everyone knew work less, make more. Make sure you definitely listen to James' podcast, Super Fast Business, excellent podcast. He has some great guests on as well. I listen all the time. And where can they find just superfastbusiness.com if they want to look into your, you know, joining your membership site, working with you? So there you go, superfastbusiness.com.
Kind of answers one of your other questions. So we get a lot of type in traffic and search traffic. Probably a third of the traffic to that site is branded traffic, people looking for that brand. So it's still good to have a strong brand. We'll have to get you on that show, Anik.
I'd love to, man. I'd love to be on. It would be an honor to be on that show. It's been awesome. I look forward to learning even more from you. Hopefully have you back again one of these days on this great podcast. James, thank you so much.
At least 10 more chapters. There's so much I could talk about when it comes to memberships, because it's so hard to compress a decade into, you know, a short conversation.
You know, I completely agree. And I think for me, you know, it's going to be more also, I'm a person who learns by observing a lot. So most likely you're going to see my name come through. I'm going to go ahead and get myself a membership. And then I'm just going to sit back and watch what's going on and how the members are engaging. It's the best way to learn. And I recommend everybody else to do the exact same. If you're spending $200 to $500 or $200 to $600 a month and you're learning, you're getting a multiple seven-figure education, even if all you're doing is just watching how James runs it, so much to be seen there. So everyone, there you go. Grab his book, Work Less, Make More. Get on his podcast, Super Fast Business. And if you want to learn more about working with James, go to superfastbusiness.com. James, thank you again. And everyone watching, make sure you go to onikpodcast.com. Binge all of our episodes. Learn something great. Give us a great review if you could on iTunes and all the other great places like YouTube. Make sure you click subscribe, thumbs up. And of course, as I always say, when life pushes you, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. Come on, fighting entrepreneurs. Go out there, fight for your dreams. I'll see you on the next episode. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onik Singhal.